It's a tremendous schus for me to be here. Every time I come into this building, I get very excited because get to teach unbelievable young ladies who are going to be the next leaders of Klal Yisrael, Bezrat Hashem. And tonight's topic also excites me very, very much. We're Shloshim Yom Korom Achad. 30 days before Yantif, you have a chiyuv to learn about the Yantif, to understand the Yantif, to prepare for the Yantif. Because if you're not ready for the Yantif will go by and you'll lose it. And you won't gain from it. And tonight I want to discuss the most important Yantif of Purim. The ideas that I want to discuss tonight, some of them are going to come from Mori V'Rabbi, Rav Moshe Weinberger, Shlita, the Rav of Ish Kodesh, the Mashpia of YU. An amazing idea which I heard I never caught on to before. And I want to take you guys together on a journey to the place called Shushan. I want to go to Shushan Avira. We know we have the story, it's coming up, the Megillah. You hear about the Megillah, you start to get excited. And we know the story of Esther and Mordechai and Haman and Achashverosh. And it all takes place in a place called Shushan. We know that. But there's something maybe that you never caught on to before. Okay, we're going to look at a couple sources, and I want you to tell me, how many Shushans are there? Okay, we all know, I think there's one Shushan. Okay, we'll look at source number one. It was the third year that Achashverosh was sitting on his throne. Asher b'Shushan Abira. Where was his throne? Shushan Abira. What's Bira? Capital. Beautiful. Now, second source. The decree goes out. Haratzim yatsu dechufim v'davar amelech. That the people went out to deliver the message. V'adat nidna b'Shushan Abira. And the command was given in Shushan Abira. V'hamelech v'haman yasu l'shtot. Haman and Achashverosh are celebrating this decree. V'air Shushan Nevocha. Who is crying? Shushan what? Look at the words. Ha'er Shushan. Okay? What was the other expression we saw for Shushan? Shushan Abira. Now we're talking about Er Shushan. So it seems that there are two places, Shushan Abira and Er Shushan. What's the difference? What? Is there a difference? Let's see, is there a difference? Is there a difference? A city could be a capital. Very nice. Bira means a capital. Right? Shushan Abira. So it could be the same. Could be the same. But if you look at Chazal, Chazal pick up on this. Chazal say there were two different places. There's a place called Shushan Abira, and there's a place called Er Shushan. Shushan Abira was the capital, the palace. That's where the king was found. Okay? Er Shushan, if you look at source number 5, sorry, it's source number 4. It says there's two places. Shushan Abira is where the capital was, where the king was. Er Shushan was where the Jews were. It wasn't where the palace was. And Jews were only found in the air. They weren't found in the Bira. If you look at source number 5, I'm going to read a couple words into that source. Kimat Tachush Abira, Kikulu Misharsi Amalek. What's so special about the Bira? Only the ministers of the kings were found there. The ain't Sham Yehudi, and there were no Jews found there. Rakhu Mordechai Levado. The only person found in Shushan Abira, the only Jew found in Shushan Abira was Mordechai. And how do we see that? If you look at source number 6 in the Megillah, it says, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Abira. There was one Jew, Ish Yehudi. One Jew that was found where? B'Shushan Abira. Who was that? Mordechai. Ushmo Mordechai. Yeah. Because I'll say.
Oh, but from the text, it doesn't.
From the text, there's something called. No, it's saying, why does it have to specify to us from Shushan Abira? Everybody was in Shushan. What's a chiddush? I mean, we're talking about Shushan, but specifically mentioning he's in Shushan Abira. Okay?
Yeah. It's more talking about him than just saying he's going to jail.
No, so it could have just said, there was a Yehudi Haya V'Shem Mordechai. Why say Shushan Abira? We were talking about Shushan Abira, this whole story taking place in Shushan Abira.
Right.
So it seems funny that it's picking up on this idea of Shushan Abira. So Chazal say it's weird, so we think that it's telling us this message. Again, this is the Eben Ezra says this idea that it was talking about Mordechai. So my question is, what are these two Shushans? Why is Mordechai the only one in Shushan Abira? What's going on? I think when we explore this idea, when we get to the foundation, the shoresh of what Purim is all about. And after we figure that out, we're going to speak about you guys, how Purim fits in, how this whole idea fits in. I'm telling this to you guys. It's very important. We'll get there. And so stay tuned. There's a lot of good things that are going to happen here. What's going on? What are these two Shushans? So we have to understand this is an unbelievable so that I think all of us know. There are two ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals Himself in this world. Okay? What are the two ways? One is, He reveals Himself in a revealed fashion. Like Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes with the supernatural. He brings 10 makos. He splits the sea. He makes Himself known. You see Him. It's clear. I call it the Yushalayim existence. Yushalayim is a base of Migdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present. You see Him. Everything makes sense. The second revelation of God. And when it's, what?
Color, Nisar.
Beautiful. So you guys, this is color war going on over here, right? So you have Mimro, they have Baksha, guys have color war. So color war, Nigla Nisar means that there's one is the revealed and one is the concealed. You don't see God. You can't see Him. He's hiding. Okay? And I believe that these two ideas are reflected in Shushan Abira and Er Shushan. What do I mean? What's Shushan Abira? Shushan Abira is the capital. It's the palace. If you go there, you know what you're going to see? Who you're going to see there? You're going to see the king. It's the place that the king writes all of his laws. It's where he's alive. Everybody comes to him. And then there's Er Shushan. What's Er Shushan? Er Shushan is the place that God doesn't go to the peasants. God's not there. Or the king's not there. But what happens? He sends His decrees to the air. And they follow His decrees. And they follow His ways. And what this means is that we have two. This represents the two ideas. That in Shushan Abira, we're talking about the king is present. In Er Shushan, He's not seen. Rav Nachman tells over a story. Rav Nachman, you guys know Rav Nachman Breslov? Yeah. Heard of him? Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. Okay, you heard of Rav Nachman Breslov. So Rav Nachman has famous stories. You guys know about Rav Nachman's famous stories? No?
Some?
He has very famous stories. They're very deep stories. And through that, there's tremendous Torahs that are learned from those stories. He has a great story of a king who sends out a letter to two people. He sends out a letter to one of his peasants. And he sends out a letter to one of his wise men. And the king sends a messenger. The messenger's coming on his pony. Comes to the pasha man's house, the peasant's house. Knocks on the door. The guy sees this. You know, it's this peasant guy. All of a sudden, he sees the royal, you know, messenger is there. He's like, "What's going on?" And he gives him a letter. The king wants you to come be with him. And this peasant just runs straight to the palace. You know, can you imagine? You're a peasant. You're invited to the palace. You're running to the palace. And then, there's the wise man. And the messenger comes to the wise man's house, knocks on the door, and tells the wise man, "Mr. Wise Man, the king wants your presence in the palace." You know what the wise man does? The wise man says, he invites the messenger, he's like, "I have to think about it," says the wise man. The messenger's like, "What? The king told you to come." He's like, "Stay overnight and we'll decide together." So the guy comes in, he has a whole feast. He invites everybody in the country to come to the messenger. And he says to the messenger, "Do you ever see the king?" He said, "No." He said, "How did you get this message?" He said, "Oh, the second in command of the king came and he gave me this letter and told me to give it to you." So he said, "There's no such thing as the king," says the wise man. "No such thing as the king." So he said, "Wait till tomorrow and I'll show you there's no king." And they wait till the next day, they go to sleep. Next morning they wake up, they go to the Shuk, Machan Yehuda, and they go to the soldiers there, and they say, "Who do you work for?" They say, "We work for the king." They say, "Yeah, do you ever see the king?" They're like, "No." I said, "But what do you mean?" We serve the king, but you never saw the king. And this wise man goes around to the whole city saying, "Did you ever see the king? Did you ever see the king? Did you ever see the king?" "No, we never saw the king." And the wise man convinces himself that the king doesn't exist. But that wise man is a fool. That wise man is living in the world of Er Shushan. He sees what's in front of him. He doesn't see the king, so the king can't exist. It's not possible. He's not there. The Pasha guy knows there's a king. I can't see him. He's at the palace, and he runs to the palace because that's where the king is. And if the king wants him to see him, I can see him. And that whole story of the wise man and the peasant is the story of Purim. It's the story of Purim because whenever it says in the Megillah, and if you look at source number 7, it's a famous medrash. Whenever it says Melech Achashverosh in the Megillah, that's referring to Achashverosh. Okay? But whenever it says Ha Melech without Achashverosh, who's that talking about? Talking about Hashem. What that means is that Akash Baruch Hu in the Purim story is not seen with the eyes. If you look with your eyes and you look through the Megillah, Hashem's name is not mentioned once. He doesn't look like he's there. And now you have a choice. Do you see God or not see God? But if you look at the Megillah and through the eyes of Chazal and you realize that whenever it says Melech, it's not talking about Achashverosh. It's talking about Akash Baruch Hu. He's there. You can't see him, but he's there. When you're in Ir Shushan, you can't see it. But in Shushan Abira, it's clear, he's there. I'm going to get there, we're going to develop this idea. 1 second. Well, I want to say one other thing. Yeah, sorry, okay, ask a question.
Does that theory make sense according to the every time her mouth comes up? Does that make sense?
Yeah, you have to know, you have to figure out. You have to figure out. The Gra writes on every word HaMelech, he explains it. You'll see, a lot of places don't. It does make sense.
It does not.
It does. When Esther comes to
talk, every place
has HaMelech. That's the rule. The rule is whenever it says HaMelech, somehow that's talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, not to Achashverosh. So we can go through this again. This is a technical point. We can go through it later, and we can try to figure out ways to answer each time it says HaMelech first Hashem. But that's just something to understand. The whole idea of the Purim story, if you look at source number 8, the Gemara in Chulin asks a question: Esther mina Torah minayin? Where do we know Esther from the Torah? Where is the allusion to Esther in the Torah? Esther min haTorah minayin? Do you know where we get it from? Va'anochi haster aster. It's the God when He tells us He is going to be concealed. He is going to be hidden. The whole word Esther means hidden. Haster means hidden. The whole essence of the Purim story is God does not look like He's there. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge you should realize of Golos. When we go into exile, things are not clear. When you're sitting in Yerushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash, it's clear HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. There you're in the Bira, there you're in the palace, there you see God. But when you're thrown into Shushan, into the place that forgets about God, in that place, it's hard to see him. You don't see him with your eyes. And therefore it says in source number 9, the Yaakov Shimon, he tells us an unbelievable thing. Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kol Yavim Shaitza Malchus B'yad B'nai. As long as my children were they had control of the Malchus, they were in Yerushalayim. As long as we were in Yerushalayim, whether we were good or whether we were bad, what happens? Zeh Omei Tzadik Zeh Lova V'zeh Porea V'zeh. What he says over here is that I was always with them. You could see the Malchus. But look at the bolded part. Sorry. Now that I've taken away the Malchus from my children, now that I'm no longer in Yerushalayim, Tachzor HaMalchus L'Be'avi L'Elam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now that they're going to go into Galus, my presence, what does Elam mean? What does Ne'elam mean? Anybody know what Ne'elam means? What? No, what? No? What? Hidden. Beautiful. Ne'elam means hidden. Olam is Lashon of Ne'elam. This is a world of concealment. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when I leave Yerushalayim, when I leave Eretz Yisrael, when you go to Galus, you're going to go to a place called Elam. Elam means hiddenness. And if you look at source number 10 of Daniel, you want to know what Elam is referring to? I know you're going to tell me there's a problem with this. Forget the problem. Let's keep on going. Shushan is called, look at source number 10, the bolder part, Manib Shushan Abira. I know it's you're going to ask me, oh, but Shushan Abira, not Ir Shushan? Fine, just forget about that. Ashir B'Elam. Do you want to know what's called Elam? Shushan. Shushan is the place that God says, I will be concealed. You won't see me with your eyes. You won't see me with your eyes. That's what the Shushan's all about. Okay? We're going to develop this idea more.
But I thought we said that before.
I said it. You're going to ask. But Shushan Abira has a clarity, right? Yeah, as I said, forget about that. We can. I'll explain it to you later. I don't want to take up time from that. But it fits. Don't worry. Okay? Trust me. I think. If not, we'll make something up that maybe kfira and it'll work. Okay? It's fine. This is going on white horror, right? Oops. Okay. We're not spreading kfira. We only speak MS. Well, it's Purim Torah, so we can do whatever we want on Purim. Okay, so, fine. So, Shushan is Elaim, it's hidden, it's concealed. Great. What's our job? What's the job of a Jew?
To find
the beautiful. Rav Tzadok says, I'm not going to read this, source number 12, you can read it yourself. Rav Tzadok says, unbelievable idea. He says, you think, when you go to Galus, you think God's not there? You want to know where you'll find God? When you see Haman and Achashverosh, when you see those two people, and you see all the leaders of the world making decisions, deciding to decrees, wanting to kill the Jews, you want to know who that is? It's not Haman and Achashverosh. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Tzadok, that he says that the lev, that rak is a nigla, the lev malachim is tzar b'yad Hashem. That the hearts of ministers and kings are in the hands of God. And it's up for to us to realize that when Haman makes a decree, and Achashverosh makes a decree, it's not Achashverosh and Haman making a decree. You want to know who's making that decree? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our problem that we have is we live in a world, we think everything is, oh, it's a coincidence. It just happened. Oh, this person got elected, that person's making this decree, these people are killing each other, Jews are just getting butchered in Yerushalayim, that's just happening. It's coincidence. That's the world of Eir Shushan, where you're lost and confused and you don't see God. Our job, says Rav Tzadok, is when you see all these events happening, you realize there's no such thing as coincidence, it's coincidence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dictating the whole world. He's making everything happen. There's no, everything has a Seder, everything's Misudar, everything is good. That's what's happening. And I want to tell you what's going on. What's the Purim story? What's the Purim story? We said there's Shushan Abira, and we said there's Eir Shushan. But I want to tell you an unbelievable thing, and when you're going to read the Megillah, you're going to be you're going to change your life. Okay, source 13. Esther tells Mordechai, Lech kenos es kol ha-yehudim ha-nimtzam b'shushan. Go gather up all the Jews who are in Shushan. Go gather them up. Right? This is the moment of truth. Right now, Ahasuerus and Haman want to kill the Jews. Esther says, we have to take action. Well, Mordechai tells Esther to take action. All of a sudden, Esther becomes the heroine here. Says, you go gather all the Jews. Okay, what's Mordechai going to gather? What's he gathering? Where's he going to gather the Jews? Next pasuk says, in Yud Zayin, the bolded part, V'yavr Mordechai. Mordechai listens to Esther, and he goes, V'yavr means he passes over. What's he passing over? Anybody know what he's passing over? That means passing. What?
Bira
to Shushan. Beautiful. So now that for sure is clear, because he's going, V'yavr, he's going from here to there. Okay? But what does it mean that he passed over? There's a deeper significance of this. And the significance of this is found in source number 14. The Gemara tells us, what does it mean, Vayavar Mordechai? What does that mean? The Gemara Megillah, Tezvav, and Aleph says, the bolded part of Shmuel Amar, you want to know what he passed over? The Avar Arkuma Demaya. He passed over a river. What river? What's Mordechai passing over? Akuma Demaya, he passed over this body of water. What's the body of water? Why did he pass over that body of water? Says Rashi, La'asof ha'yehudim shebe'ev rasheni. He had to go to the other side of the river to go get all the Jews who were found there. What does that mean? What's the other side of the river? What were Jews doing there? What does that mean?
Another city.
What?
Another city.
Another city, but what's the significance of the river? What does it mean he's going to get them? So I mean, the other city is Eir Shushan, right? That we know. Yeah.
Fergos, so like he has to like bring them back to see Hashem be revealed.
Oh, beautiful. So we're going to get there. But we have to understand, what is this river? This river is a big, big problem. So if you look back at source number 10, it says in that pasuk in Daniel, where it says that Shushan is called Elam, that it's hidden. The pasuk continues. And where is Daniel standing? And the next bolded part, I was standing by the river called Ulai. Okay? So now we just got some more information. There are two cities, the Shushan Abira, this Er Shushan. There is a river between these two places. And you know what that river is called?
Ulai.
Okay? That's the river that Mordechai was passing over. What's the significance of this river?
He had a vision there.
He had a vision, correct. That's what this... A Mashiach, correct. Right? And it's happening over here. There's for a reason. There's a reason why it's happening here. Anybody know what the word Ulai means?
Maybe.
Maybe. Why is that significant?
Maybe
no. That's good. Yeah.
I think it was more people that weren't necessarily still Jewish, and he said maybe I can turn them back.
You guys are mamish chassidim, and you're having such a good ayin tova, that we can turn everybody around. We can become beautiful. You know what Ulai means? You want to know how you go from Er Habira, Shushan Habira, where everything's clear, and then all of a sudden you're in Er Shushan and you don't see God at all? You want to know where it starts from? It starts from the word Ulai. Maybe. Maybe God's here. Maybe God's not here. Is he here? I can't see him. Where is he? What? It's the doubt of where is God. When you start to ask, what's going on here? I don't understand this. This can't be happening. Why is this happening? I'm confused. That confusion leads us to go from Shushan Habira to Er Shushan. That Mordechai was passing over that river. He's saying, I'm going, those Jews, they started at Shushan Habira. They had clarity. When did the Purim story happen? You guys know when the Purim story happened?
Right after
the first base of Midrash was destroyed. We're sitting 70 years of Golos. Nabi told us it could be 70 years of Bayis Rishon to Bayis Sheni. Do you know what the party of Achashverosh was? You guys know this?
The celebration
of 70. Achashverosh thought he calculated there's going to be 70 years. He thought he calculated the 70 years. He said the Jews are not going back to Yerushalayim. They have no relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He comes out on the big day. Kahuna, Chazal tell us. He says, Jews are not going back. You're not going back. And then the Jews start saying, Ulai, maybe he's right. Maybe God doesn't exist. Maybe God doesn't care about us. Maybe God abandoned us. That's what they started to say, but Mordechai says, no, no, no. And he passes over that river. And Lech Kenosis Kol Yehudim, Esther tells Mordechai, go gather the Jews and bring them back to Shushan Habira. Tell them there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world. Tell them that Kodesh Baruch Hu he's in charge of the world. There's no coincidence. It's only Esther and Mordechai. Those are the two people who have the clarity to realize. They're the only ones allowed at Shushan Habira because they live in the world of Shushan Habira. They realize that God wants everything. And even if you can't see God, He is there. And therefore He crosses that river of Ulai. He says, no more questions, guys. It's clear HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs this world. And therefore, the Tiferes Shlomo says an unbelievable thing. You want to know what's on the other side of the river? He says himself, it was the HaKadosh Baruch who puts us into this world. He puts us into this world with a Kadosh Kedusha, with an Neshama, which is Kadosh. And Hashem says, I want you to attach to me. I want you to be spiritual. But you know what the problem is? We're dropped into the middle of the world of people who don't care about Kedusha. They don't care about Kedusha. And you know what happens to Jews? They become confused. And they forget what they're doing here. Tiferes Shlomo says, what does it mean to go over to cross over the river? The river means it's the other side. There's a side of Kedusha, which is Shushan Habira, and there's Er Shushan, which is Tuma. All these Jews in Er Shushan crossed over, they used all their kochos, all their Kedusha, and they didn't utilize it. They started becoming Tame. They started worshipping things they shouldn't have been worshipping. And Mordechai had to go and tell them, Asher b'chavanu mikol ha'amim. You're the chosen people. You're Kadosh people. You're part of the Amim, but you're chosen. Asher Baruch Abanu, He chose us, Mikol Amim, from amongst all the nations of the world, says Mordechai. And he's telling them, you're Kadosh. And you're holy, and God loves you, and He cares about you. And not only that, he's telling us, what does it mean to cross over the river? Do we know anybody in Judaism? I want to just continue this point. Do we know anybody in Judaism that has, it's called crossing over the rivers, Eiver Hanar, crossing the river. Well, we're going to get there in a second. Was there somebody in our faith that was had the name of Eber Hanar. Yeah, or Eber. Passing over. Who? Yeah, who? Avram Ha'ivri. Where does he get his name from? Ivri, passing over.
Passed over the influence that he was around.
He came from the people who served, worshipped Avodah Zarah. Who said God doesn't exist in this world. He was on the other side of the river. He was in Er Shushan. That's actually where he started from, that area. It's funny. And Yeshua said, in Surah 17, you can look. Yeshua tells us, do you know where your fathers came from? Do you know where we came from? Do you know what our DNA is? They're from Abraham. They crossed over the river and came to God. They wanted God, even though everything was telling them there is no such thing as God. And therefore, they're called Abraham. What happens when we leave Mitzrayim? What do we have to do? Cross the Yam Suf. We also go through Avranar. We leave the world of Mitzrayim, which is on one side of the sea. And then we cross over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the other side of the sea. And somebody else here also said, what do we do before we come to Eretz Yisrael? We cross the Yarden. Because once again, Hashem is telling us, you can cross the river. The river of doubt doesn't exist. You can overcome it. That's the story of Purim. The story of Purim is overcoming all doubt. It's having clarity that Hashem Baruch Hu exists in every situation. And that place of Suffolk, that water of Ulai, maybe. You know what that is? You know what that is? It's a person, it's a nation called Amalek. What's Amalek? What's the gematria of Amalek? Anybody know? The gematria of Amalek is Suffolk. Confusion, doubt. You can check it up, it's true, don't worry. Amalek is Suffolk. They are that river that tells you God doesn't exist. How do we see that from Amalek? Do you guys remember, when does Amalek attack us? We left Mitzrayim. We're on our way, correct, Rafidi? We're on our way to get the Torah at our Sinai. The whole world is trembling for Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and revealed himself to this world. With the Eser Makos splitting the sea, everything. Now Amalek comes and says, we're going to attack you. What's so bad about that? What's so bad about that? And not only that, what they did is so bad, we have to wipe them out. Men, women, children, old, young, wipe out all of Amalek. What about Paro? Paro, you know what Paro did? You want to know how bad Paro was? Paro killed 300 babies every day to bathe in their blood. But don't be mad at Paro. Don't kill. We can't. We have to be nice to Mitzrayim. Amalek killed them. Why? Do you want to know what Amalek did? Amalek said, oh, you think you're going at the Torah? You think you're Kadosh? You think you're passing over the Yam Suf to go to the other side of the river of clarity, of Kedusha, Tahara? No, you're not. You're not so holy. You're not so great. Look who are you. Who do you think you are? You think you can accomplish greatness and Kedusha? Look what you did in the past. You're not so good. God doesn't care about you. Him attacking us is telling us you are not Kadosh. You are not holy. God doesn't exist. That's Amalek. And that makes us go from Shushan Abira to Er Shushan. And that's why it says, how do we know? How do we defeat Amalek? No, how do we defeat Amalek?
Like
what happened? Like this, guys. What happened? What happened? What happened? What was going on? What is this doing? What am I showing you guys? What? With Moshe. Hey, Moshe lifted up his arms. And when we lifted up our arms, we defeated Amalek. Why? Why did we do that? It's beautiful. Amalek tells us everything's coincidence. There's no God. We're about to go fight a physical battle with Amalek. Most of us, you want to know how you're going to win? You're going to win not because of your strength. You're going to win when you realize there's a God. When you realize that God is part of the picture. That's how we defeat Amalek. Amalek who tells us there is no God, there's no relationship with God. That's how we defeat Amalek. And that's why we see in Source 23, rhymes. Haman minatora minayim. We have another question. How do we know I'll tell you one more thing, actually. This is beautiful. This is a beautiful thing. I may have mentioned this when I subbed here. I may have mentioned this idea. It says that Amalek, if you look at source 22, in Pasuk 20, Tazayin, Vayomer Kiyad al Kes Ka. It says that Amalek has their name on the throne of God, which is called Ka, Yod He. They have their hand on that. What does that mean? Anyone know what that means?
They block God in the world.
They block God. I want to tell you something. This is an unbelievable thing. There's God's name. This is a very simple love, okay? There's Yud K, Vav K. Okay? Yud K is the supernatural existence of God. God, it's clear that God exists. Yud K. Vav K is God in a concealed form. Okay? Down in this world where it's hard to see Him. Okay? The shortest for everything is Yud K. You have to first know that God exists. He's a supernatural God. Okay? What does it mean? That what's it called? That Amalek has Yad al Kes Ka. This is what it means. It means God doesn't exist. God doesn't exist. Guys, you gotta follow this. It's gonna be a compliment. It means God doesn't exist. You wipe God off the map. God doesn't exist. But I have an interesting thing to tell you. This is just a side point right now. This is a side point. What?
You're still that hard.
Yeah, but if you don't have the starting point, which is Ka, you don't have Vav K. It just doesn't work.
What is that part of your second?
The concealed form of God. But if God doesn't exist, who cares if he's not existent? But it's interesting because if you look, we said that Yud K is the higher level, okay? This is going to be really cool. This is going to be really cool. Yud K is the higher level, Vav K is the lower level, okay? Now, what are we learning right now? What do you learn in seminary? Torah, okay? That was not a trick question. If it was, then you have a lot of soul searching to do. What's davening called? What's the name for davening?
Avoda.
Okay, so we see right now two things of kedusha. This is the lower level. Vav K. Okay, you see Vav K is found in higher level things. Torah, Avoda. You have the Vav K format. Now listen to this. What? I did this. Okay.
No,
Now, how do you say eating?
Yeah, I can see.
Achila.
Oh, yeah.
Shena. Sleeping. Shkia. All these have Yud K. Yud K. The lower level of Hashem. These are physical things. It has the higher level name of Hashem. I don't understand. It should be the opposite. You guys understand the question I just said?
Yes.
So it's Pashat. Because our job as a Jew is to say that God who's up there, right, is in this physical world. The things that we do in this physical world, achila, shtia, drinking, eating, we don't do it just for physical reasons. We elevate it to God. And not only that, the things that come from God, Torah and Avoda, those things we're going to bring to this world. God's just not up there in the supernatural. He's down here in this lower physical world. That's the job of the Jew. That was what Mordechai. That's what Esther was telling Klal Yisrael. That's how you defeat Amalek. Amalek said, Yad al Kes Ka. They erase everything. God doesn't exist. God is everything. God exists. That's the major yesod, I think, of Purim. In Source 23, it said, Haman min haTorah minayin. Where do we know Haman from in the Torah? Hamina ate. When he ate from the Eitz Hadas. The allusion to Haman is that the world of the Eitz Hadas caused confusion in this world. It brought death to this world. It took God out of the picture. That is the essence of Haman. Haman comes from Amalek. He comes from Amalek. That's the Ulai. That's the Ulai we all have to fight. And why do I think this is so important for the people sitting in this room? Because I believe shalim, that this is your essence of who you are. That a Jewish woman, her essence is this idea. Her essence is seeing God in the concealed world. How do I know that? Here we go. Source 24. It starts in the beginning of Chava. You guys have heard of Chava? Who is Chava? Where did Chava come from? Adam. What happened? It says that Kosh Baruch Hu source 24, the bold apart by Yikach Achas Bitzilosav. Where did she come from? One of Adam's limbs. What limb? The rib. Why the rib? Why not a hand? Why not a foot? The idea is, look at source 25. Shemati b'pira Moshe adarshon. Shehu lashon habana shehevi shakadosh baruch hu. Hakadosh baruch hu understood. Hegyona isha, the essence of a woman. The essence of a woman is probably makam tanua. It has to come from a modest place. Hands are seen outside. Feet are seen outside. A throat is seen outside. Something that's hidden is a rib. And what that means is Chava's essence comes from a place of her being someone who's tzanua, who's modest, who's concealed, who's within. That's Chava's essence. That's what defines her. Another thing that defines Chava, Rav Hirsch says, why is it that women have more, usually, better voices than men, they're more beautiful than men, they're more sensitive than men? Anybody ever wonder that?
Why?
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying. Why are women better than men? What?
Because it came from more made.
Unbelievable. Your name again?
Avital.
Avital is Mamish. She has Ruach HaKodesh. You maybe change your name to Esther. Esther had Ruach HaKodesh. So you should call your name Esther or Hadassah, whichever one you want to be. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. I was just saying that she has Ruach HaKodesh. I was just praising her. Now I will tell you what she said. She said, you want to know why Chava has all these things? Why is he more sensitive, more beautiful, has a better voice? Because where did Adam come from?
The dirt.
Dirt. A pile of mud. Does mud have feelings? Is mud alive? No. Man came from a pile of dirt. Where did a woman come from? Something that's already alive. Something that already has feelings. What that means is what defines a woman is her ability to be sensitive, her ability to be more complete, to be more inner, to be more tzanua, to be able to tap into things on a deeper level. And because of that, she's the one that what defines her, if you look at source 27. Sorry. First, it's source 28. Vayikra Adam Shem Ishto Chava, that Adam called his wife Chava. Why? Ki Haisa Aim Kol Chai. She is the mother of all living things. That life comes from her. She is the source of life. Why? Why is she the source of life? I believe because she most closely resembles HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the source of life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates, and a woman creates. She has the child. She has extra kedusha. She has the sensitivity to be able to have a child and raise a child and imbue values into a child and to make sure that child is living. We see this by our friend points out that when a woman has a baby boy, she's tamei for 7 days and an additional 3 weeks. 30 days. An additional 33 days when you have a boy. One second. For a girl, you're telling me for an initial 14 days and 66 additional days. Okay, should I write on the board?
No.
Yeah? Got it?
Yeah.
For a Ben? A Ben. 7 additional days and a 33. And a Keva? A Keva 14 days? Anybody have any questions on this?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you should have 2 questions, okay? If not, you have to come back, Shana Bet. Yes.
Rebecca.
No other questions. Right now. What's going on over here? What questions do you have?
Why is it double?
Why is it double? Well, a woman is... That's how bad she is? She has double the amount of tumor?
She doubled the amount of
okay? One second. First of all, before that, you have a question before that? Is there a question before that? What? Does anybody have a question before that? Forget about the numbers. What happens when you have a child? What happens? You have come tummy. Does that make sense to anybody? Anybody here? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
What?
No.
A lot of blood involved. That's very nice. But why tummy? So I want to tell you, guys, listen up. We don't have that much time, and I want to... What is tuma? When there's kedusha. And, guys, when there's kedusha, and kedusha leaves, what happens? Tuma comes in. It takes its place. There's no such thing as like kedusha leaves and that's it. When there's no kedusha, tuma comes in instead. So what happens? A woman has in her body for 9 months a child, a neshama. Not only a neshama that has an angel there teaching her or him kol ha-Torah kula. Can you imagine the kedusha going on? It's unbelievable. And therefore, when the baby comes out, that kedusha leaves and tuma fills in. Why is it double? Listen to what Fran says. Because when a woman has a girl inside of her, it's not just a baby. She also has a creator inside of her. She has somebody who has the ability to create. Her kedusha is double. And therefore there's more tuma. Do you understand what that tells you? Do you understand what that's telling you here sitting down in this room? You have kedusha. You have the ability to bring life to this world. What does this mean to bring life to this world? It means in Source 29 that after Chava has the baby, what does she call her child? Vatelad es Cain. She had Cain. Vatomer Cain. Why does she call him Cain? Betomer kanisi ish es Hashem. What does that mean? I acquired a relationship with God. What does it mean to be a mother? What does it mean to give birth? What does it mean to be someone who has kadosh? It means that you are connecting with God. It means you have a living relationship with God. It means you're bringing God into this world. You're making the concealed revealed. That's a child. A child is something that's hidden that becomes revealed. And that's how we understand source number 30. So many people get this wrong. They misinterpret what this means. But how would we define, how does the Torah define a Jewish woman? Kol kavoda bas melech penima. The essence of a woman is that the kavod of a woman, the honor of the woman, is concealed. Penima. It's inside. It's inside. Kokvoda basmach penima. Good?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is there anything that's to be discussed? Good? Yeah? Good. Kokvoda basmach penima means that the essence of a woman is concealment. What does that mean? That she's able to see beyond what the eyes can see. She can see the depth. She can see God when God doesn't look like He's there. When you're in Elaine, and there's Eloi, and there's Haman and Achashverosh, her ability is to say, I will reveal God. Because her whole essence is something that's within. It's an inner experience. It's not an external experience. It's an inner experience. And she can more closely feel God more than anybody else. And it says, the Torah tells us, Shema b'ni musar avicha. Sorry, in Mishnah it says, Shema b'ni musar avicha. Listen to the Musa of your father. V'altitash Torah simecha. Don't abandon the Torah of your mother. What's the Torah of a mother? Anybody wonder that? What's the difference Torah of a mother and Torah of a father? Pashat. The Torah of a mother is not an intellectual Torah. It's an experiential Torah. It's something you feel. It's something you experience. It's alive. You show God exists. You live with God. You feel God. That's the Torah Simecha. That the mother tells you, God's here. God never leaves. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik says in Source 32 when he speaks about his mother. What kind of Torah does the mother pass on? Most of all, I learned from my mother that Judaism expressed itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but also in a living experience. She taught me that there's a flavor, a scent, and warmth to mitzvos. I learned from her the most important thing in life, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders. Without her teachings, which quite often were transmitted to me in silence, I would have grown up with soulless, being dry and insensitive. You know, Soloveitchik says the mother gives you a living experience of God. It's alive. You mean when you come to Shabbos, you feel Shabbos. When your children come into your home, they feel God. When the people are around you, they see God. And that explains a very misunderstood concept of tznius. Of what's a tznius? What does that mean? To be tznua. What that means is you're covering up your outside because you're defining who you are. You're telling people, you're telling yourselves, don't look at my externals. My externals are important. I'm not saying they're not important. But it's not what defines you. What defines you is a neshama. What defines you is kanisas Hashem. I have a relationship with God. Don't look at my body parts. It's not about my body parts. It's about look inside. Look deep inside. Kvoda basmelech penima. You want to know what defines me and makes me holy? You want to know what makes me this? That I bring more tumah to the world? It's because I'm kadosh. Because I live with God. I experience God. And the way that you remind yourself that, and the way you remind the world that, is by showing what's more important. What we're going to focus on. That when people see you, they don't see your body. The first thing they see is not your body parts. They see God. They see the Shekhinah. They say, wow, I see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I see someone who could create like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't see an object. I don't see something that gives pleasure. I see something that's beyond. Something that's deep. Something that's holy. You're bringing yourself to Shushan Abira. And you're bringing the world to Shushan Abira. That's your job. That's a tremendous chus. You know how lucky you are? All of us want to say, it's not fair, I can't do this. Do you know how lucky you are? Stop looking at what you don't have. Look at what you have. You have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can talk about this afterwards. You have HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling you, I believe in you, and you're great, and you're awesome, and you're amazing. We can discuss that afterwards. This is one aspect of a woman that's very important. I'm not saying it's the only one.
No, I'm just saying guys don't think that.
Okay.
We can discuss it.
I'll discuss it with you afterwards, okay? And I want to just tell you one last thing. Two last things. We have 5 more minutes. Two last things. First of all, you should just realize, just as I told you, Avraham Avinu is Avraham Ivri. And that's our DNA. And we have the ability to pass over the river. The foundation of Klal Yisrael, the women of Klal Yisrael, come from people who understood this idea. If you look at source 34, and there's so much we could say, but I'm cutting enough time. We could say another 4 hours on this. Vayomer lov, Ayeh Sarah Yishtecha, the Malachi come to Aaron and say, where is Sarah, your wife? Vayomer hineh v'ohel, she is in the tent. What is this in the tent? Look at the next source. Source 35. Where was Sarah? He didn't even know. What's she was in the oil? Tzenuahi. She's modest. She's an inner person. She's a panemistic person. She's living with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what defined her, says Rashi on that pasuk in the Torah. And not only that, we see by Rivka. And I'm not going to go through all the examples, but Rivka says also, she was riding on the camel, and she comes and she sees Yitzhak, she goes off the camel. Why? The Rashbam says, but tznius. Because she was modest. And the greatest example, first of all, we can go also by Rachel. Also, there's tznua, but I didn't bring it on the sheet. There's Rachel. And we know the most famous place that we see tznius is by the mother of Mashiach. Who's the mother of Mashiach?
Ruth.
How do we see it by her? Boaz chooses her. Why? And you can look at this later in source 38 in the Rosh Rabbah. Why was she chosen? Boaz chooses Ruth because the way that she would bend down to pick up the stalks was tznius. I mean, the other women would bend down inappropriately. She would go down like this and she would pick up the stalks. Boaz picks her, and she becomes the mother of Mashiach. The mother of Mashiach, what's Mashiach? Anybody know what Mashiach is?
No.
Mashiach is going to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. The Melech, David HaMelech, his job is to reveal God in this world. That was his job. The way that you reveal God in this world is through tznias. It's through realizing that God is concealed and we have to go find Him and we have to go reveal Him. The shoresh of the melech, the shoresh of Mashiach has to come from a tznias person. That's where we come from. That's our foundation. And I want to end with one last idea. An idea, I never understood this idea, and I came up, I think, with a nice idea. Chazal tells, the Torah tells us, in Archaim, Hechosh Chodesh, Simit Tav Yud Zayin, Source 39, the women were given a certain yantif. You guys know the yantif that you have? Rosh Chodesh. So when your husband comes and says, can you do laundry? No. You have a day off. Okay? Why? Anyone know why? Last week's parsha, why? What about the Chet Egel? You guys did not participate in the Chet Egel. Because you didn't participate in the Chet Egel, you got Rosh Chodesh. Anybody ever wonder, you can't answer, anybody ever wonder what's the connection of getting Rosh Chodesh? Since we weren't involved in the Chet Egel, we got Rosh Chodesh. Anybody have an answer for that? Does that make sense to you?
The women's holiday.
Why? Why do they get Rosh Hashanah? Why do they get Yom Kippur?
Because
the yeah.
I feel like Rosh Chodesh is like, had we participated, it's like we kind of lost track of the whole everything with the calendar. Rosh Chodesh represents that, like, we realize it's all from God and the whole holiday.
Okay, nice. Very nice, yeah.
Because it's not so obvious it's a holiday.
Okay, beautiful. Well, we have to, how's that the connection to Chet Egel? Listen to this, Yisrael. I may have seen this somewhere. I think I came up with this myself. I don't know. Why didn't the women participate in Chet Egel?
Because they knew it would really be like they didn't need the ego.
Why did people make the ego?
Because they felt
it was their children. Thought Moshe Rabbeinu was not coming down.
No, they.
Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What?
Yeah.
Beautiful. So come here. So, are you sure?
Yeah.
Beautiful. So Leora wrote about this. Is it published somewhere?
No.
Okay, it's not published. Meretz Hashem. It'll be in her Sefer Bezat Hashem in a couple of years. Amen. 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 So, why did they make the Chet Egel? Because they thought Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming down. Our relationship with the Akash Baruch Hu is severed. It's gone. It's finished. The men thought that. You know who didn't say that? The woman said, heck no. We're not giving our jewelry to this. Moshe is going to come down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never left us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. You can't see him, but he's here. That's the koach of a woman. And how do I know that? Because that's why we left Mitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim because it says that Miriam went to her father. What did Miriam say to her father? You're worse than Paro. Miriam's father didn't want to have kids. Why? Paro's going to kill the boys. Miriam says, what do you mean? You're killing the boys and the girls. You're worse. Miriam had bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to save us. And Miriam goes and tells her father, have children. And what happens? They have Moshe Rabbeinu. And Miriam always believed that Klal Yisrael will be redeemed. And so did all the women in Mitzrayim. You guys know the cure?
Yep.
The cure is the place where you wash your hands. What?
Mirrors.
The mirrors were used. What? Which mirrors? The mirrors that they used to seduce their husbands in Mitzrayim. When the husbands came home from the back-breaking labor and said, we don't want to have children. You know what the women did? They beautified themselves. They had mirrors. And they flirted with their husbands because they said to their husbands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to redeem us. We're having children. We're going to come out of Mitzrayim. And because of the Nashim Tikkanios, because of those righteous women, we left Mitzrayim. We have Klal Yisrael. And that's why the holiness of the place where you wash your hands is with those mirrors. Hashem says these are the holiest mirrors in the world. Because they tell the people, the women who have faith in me, who believed in me. And then all the darkness they realize is going to be light. Which Yantif represents that? In all the darkness there's going to be light? Rosh Chodesh.
That's also.
What's that? Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because Rosh Chodesh, you come to the beginning of the month and it's dark. And what are we celebrating on Rosh Chodesh? The renewal of the moon. There's going to be light. It's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. It's going to get dark again, but it's going to get light again. That defines the Jewish woman. The essence of the Jewish women. You guys. The schus that you have. The schus that you have of renewal. So I think also that's why there's the whole system in a woman to, that she has a renewal period herself. It defines who she is. It's the essence of who she is. A lot we could say about it. But that's who you are. And I want to end with one last nice idea. It's short. Source 40. It's one line. And I may have said this also. I don't remember what I said. But I didn't say it. Kol ha-ge'ulos omdos b'rashi teo shal'im. All the exile, all the redemptions that we had in the history of Klal Yisrael, if you take the Rashi tables, the first letters of the Saviors, it spells Aim, Mother. Where do we see this? Siman Eshel Geula Rishona, the first one. Okay, the first redemption. Aaron and Miriam. Okay? Aaron, Miriam. You take the first letter of Aaron, take the first letter of Miriam, it's Aim. Then you come to the next redemption, which is Purim, Esther, Mordechai. Mordechai.
Weren't there like redemptions before that?
These are the major redemptions that are recorded. Where else they have redemptions recorded?
Two?
No, there's gonna be a third one. There's gonna be a third one. The last Geula, the one that you guys are gonna bring, the Aim is gonna bring. You wanna know what it is? Brother here. Eliyahu and Mashiach. He's telling us is the Aim, the mother, the women of Klal Yisrael. You are responsible for Geula. It's on your shoulders. I think as you come to Purim, as you're preparing this Shabbos, Mevorachim HaKodesh Adar Sheni, we're starting. The Simcha Purim is beginning. And that's the Simcha that you guys can have more Simcha than anybody else. Who's the one that saves us? Who's the heroine at the end of the day? Esther. Megillas Esther. What does it mean, Megillas Esther? You know what Megala means? To reveal. Megala Esther. To reveal that which is hidden. That's Esther's job. Reveal what's hidden. Show the world that Kadosh Baruch Hu exists. Klal Yisrael is going through a time right now where you don't feel God. When Jews are butchered in the streets of Yerushalayim, God is concealed. And this Purim, where we're dealing with that darkness, this is a Purim where we can have the greatest light. Because we realize in all that darkness, it's all a facade. It's all an illusion. God's here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. We should be Zocha. To have strength to get through the dark moments. To have strength to reveal God in those dark moments. And when we do that, and we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we want that, He's going to get rid of all the darkness. He's going to bring light to the world. He's going to do it by bringing a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, in Heir of Amenu, Amen, the Amen.